a Sunday morning. Glad you're here today. I'm absolutely loving my morning and my afternoon too. Hey, I've got to tell you, I have never been so proud of two people in my entire life. Chuck and Tony Bucci shared a testimony and a word on Wednesday night that absolutely rocked our world. Thank you. I love you. Awesome. You know, some people preach about the Bible. There's others that take the Bible and make it work in the middle of a survival fight and come out on the other side thriving. That's what the message was on Wednesday night. Again, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to just share a little bit from the Bible. Can I do that this morning? Okay. I want to say thank you, worship team, and I just want to get right into it for a few minutes. I won't keep you long, I promise. I know it's 1:30 and the Browns are playing. But have you ever been in trouble? There's probably not a person in this room that haven't been in trouble. Whether you've been in trouble with finances, maybe there's been a lawsuit filed against you, maybe your spouse woke up one morning and said, I don't want to be married to you anymore. It happens. Maybe your son or your daughter gave you news that just kind of blew your mind and you thought, are you serious? And you find yourself in trouble. Sometimes we're in trouble financially because our businesses go belly up. Or the promises that others made to us, they didn't uphold. No fault of our own, we're in trouble. And then when Sunday comes, we got to make a decision. Should I go to the house of God? Because will anything really change? And so if you're here today and you've been in trouble or you're in trouble right this very moment, I want to throw you out a lifeline. And I want to let you know that God is in the midst of trouble. So I don't want you to get discouraged today. Because I found something out about the Bible. That trouble attracts God's presence like nothing else will ever attract God's presence. And when I began to think about trouble as I was reviewing this past week, I found out that sometime like Jonah, when you're in deep trouble, now he was in the belly of a whale, seaweed wrapped around his neck. I'd say that's deep trouble. Right? But God took trouble and directed him to where God wanted him to be. So the first thing I want to tell you is that in the middle of trouble, you can look for supernatural divine direction. That what the devil thought for evil, that he was going to close the door on you, God suddenly will show up and say, that way, that's the way, that's the way. So direction is in the middle of trouble. But not only is there direction, sometimes there's a little bit of inspection. It's sort of like hot water and you drop the tea bag in it. And that which is in the hot, then the tea bag suddenly begins to mix with the hot water. And trouble sometimes brings out of us what we didn't even know was in there. And I really believe that in this hour, God by His Spirit is saying, you know, you're in hot water, but don't get nervous. Because I'm just extracting something from you that you really don't need, nor do you want. So just touch your neighbor gently and say, it's going to be all right. Look at him again and say, God is in trouble. So if he's not directing you and if he's not inspecting you, then my God, what are you doing to me? And the psalmist said in 119 and 71, I love this verse. My troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook. Not till I got in trouble Now, remember last week? I told you that my car, not one light, not two, but four came on. It spent 3 days in the shop. I got it back. And the mechanic said, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with your car. I got three of them out, but I can't get that fourth one out. But there's nothing wrong. You just have to drive it like that. You know, the only time I consult the owner's manual of my car is when I have trouble. Or when I spring forward and fall back to figure out how to fix my clock. Sometime trouble will cause you to learn something because you consult the book. Not only will it cause you to learn something, but it will also cause you to connect to something. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 these words. He said, I learned to answer you and I wandered all over the place, but now I'm in step with your word. See, trouble will synchronize you to the steps of Almighty God. I don't want you to be nervous about the trouble that you're in. I don't want you to think that it's going to overwhelm you and take you down, because God is in the midst of your trouble. And right there, I just want you to close your eyes and lift up your hands and begin to thank God that He's right in the middle of your mess, and your mess is about to be transformed into a miracle. And we've already heard today in the worship service that God is doing a new thing, and He's going to take that thing that's God, that the devil tried to destroy me with, and God is going to raise me up with. And I give you thanks for it. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' name. Now think about it with me. If God can use trouble to direct me, if God can use trouble to inspect me, if God can use trouble to correct me, and if God can use trouble to connect me, He can always use trouble to protect me. What did Joseph say? Joseph said in Genesis 50, you all meant this for evil, but God had another plan. He knew that what you had designed to destroy me would be that which would preserve a many people. I don't know who God's trying to preserve around you, but He might just have chosen you because He knows that you're going to stand in faith in the middle of adversity, and your trouble is going to turn around and it's going to preserve somebody else who right this very moment, had you not gone through what you went through, they would not have made it. Well, it all will direct you, and not only will protect you and not only connect you, not only teach you something, but trouble will project you. Paul said, I've gone through all kinds of trouble and trial and tribulation. I was imprisoned, he said, but the message is progressing still. Trouble sometimes catapults you forward. You see, if it had not been for trouble, that wound up spring, that tension on the spring, I would not have shot out like a cannon. And now I'm much further along. Can I make an announcement? I've been in ministry 32 years. I hereby want to declare and decree to every former Church on the North Coast member that caused me trouble. Thank you. Thank you. Because I found my enemy to be my best friend. I found those who were causing trouble around me to connect me to God and give me direction from God and project me further than I ever dreamed possible. I realized something about the trouble that I was in, that it was good in the end. I want to tell you about Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Now we're going to give away a free chicken dinner for whoever can find the book of Lamentations first. Ready? Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You got it? All right. Chicken dinner on me. The book of what? Where? Lamentations. It is a collection of Jeremiah's lament. He saw no hope. He got to a place in his life where he said, God, I can't do this anymore. Lamentations chapter 3, if you look at verse 18, he begins to cry out and he says these words, my strength, say my strength. And my hope, say my hope, have perished. Now I'm going to stop right there because that would have been bad enough. To say your strength and your hope have perished would have been bad enough. But then he adds the tag. Say the last three words with me. From the Lord. From the Lord. Oh, you know what he was saying? He was saying, my strength and my hope have been destroyed and it's your fault. Because you should have done something. He starts blaming God for his trouble. He starts blaming God for his lack. He starts blaming God for his betrayals. He starts blaming God for all the false accusations and all the problems that he was experiencing. He had gone to a low in his life. Why? He's preaching the words of the Lord. He's declaring the words of the Lord and nobody's listening. They throw him in a cistern. They arrest him. They falsely accuse him. Israel's not changing. They're continuing in their sin. And he's known as the weeping prophet. He is lamenting. And he comes to a point in Lamentations 3 where he says, I've had it. You know, this is my message to the church today. I'm wanting to speak to every person who has had it. I want you to know that there's hope for every person in the middle of trouble and you feel as though it's God's fault. Jeremiah, knowing the word of the Lord, the anointing of God, the impartation of the Holy Ghost as he would wait on God and God would give him a now word for a nation. And he would speak, thus saith the Lord. And now he's at the point where he's pointing the finger at God and saying, it's your fault. Now I want you to see something about these words. Because the word strength in the Hebrew is an interesting word. Put my definition up if you will, please. Because it talks about my victory. It talks about my future. And in actuality, in the Hebrew, Jeremiah is saying, my future, my victory has perished. In other words, there ain't no reason to keep going on. There's no reason to keep trying. There's no reason to keep going to the counselor. Our marriage ain't going to make it. We're not going to change anything. This doesn't make a difference. He had concluded to the fact that his future and his victory was over. But then he said the word hope. And the word hope is expectation in the Hebrew. But it comes from a root word. And I want you to get this root word, church, because this root word is what is very essential to this teaching. It's a root word. Please put it up, the next word. Yahal, to wait, to be patient, to stay, to tarry, and to trust. Now follow me for a minute. He said, my strength, my victory, and my future. And my Yah, my waiting, my being patient, my staying, my tarrying, and my trusting is over. He had come to a conclusion in his walk with God, in his life, that there was no reason to keep waiting on God because nothing is going to change. He had come to a point in his life when he said, I'm not being patient anymore. When he came to a point where he said, you trust in God. I've trusted long enough. I quit. That's exactly what that word means. I quit. Now, just so you can be encouraged this morning, if you're here saying that word, I want you to know you're not by yourself. Because there ain't hardly a person in here who hasn't come to a point in their life when they said, I'm done. I quit. It's over. Can I see by the show of hands how many at one time or another have said, I quit? Huh? Look at y'all. My hand's up there with you. But you're still here. Something must have happened. Something must have taken place. Something must have intervened. And that's exactly what happened in the life of Jeremiah. Go back to Lamentations chapter 3. And I want you to see it because it is so powerful. In verse 19, he says, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. See, here's what we think. We think that if I can get far enough away from trouble, I can be happy. So I just get me another man. I'll just get me another woman. I'll just move to another church. I'll just get me another preacher. I'll just find another job. We're going to pick up and move to Florida. We're just going to get out of here. But let me tell you something, what the Lamentation says. He said that his soul still remembered. And he brought his pain with him. And his soul began to sink within him. It's sort of like having a stone in your shoe. Have you ever had a stone in your shoe and you're trying to walk along? You're like, oh man, where'd that come from? And you try to slide it over to the side and keep walking, or try to position it in between your toes and keep on walking. Have you ever tried to do that? And finally you get to the point and you say, shoot man, I got to get this thing out of here because it's hurting me. Right? Oh, I'll get it back on. Did you know that statistics say this, that you could be divorced and enter into a subsequent marriage, sometimes second, third, and fourth marriage? But here's what they say, that if the issues and the conflicts of that first marriage that brought to the demise of that marriage is not addressed and is not corrected and is not healed, then you will, by default, bring that same conflict into the next relationship. Bring that same conflict into the next church, into the next job, into the next encounter. It's an amazing thing that an innocent party can be affected by the fact that your soul is in torment. You know, that second partner didn't know anything about those conflicts. But now that she's got to know you and you haven't resolved them, you see, those same conflicts are now causing her pain. Wasn't there in the first, wasn't there in that other church, but now you find that pain in the second church. And then preachers, they're all alike. And suddenly you can't find no help and you can't find no hope from any place in anybody. And the only alternative is to say that it's God's fault and I'll not serve him again. I'll never praise him again. And so we search from one location to another to try to find some relief. And Jeremiah had a sinking soul. But I got to tell you something, because verse 21 is powerful. And he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What happened? In the Hebrew, the word this is so essential. Something happened in his soul. And I got to call upon that soulical part of you this morning. You all been in church long enough. You've got enough word in you. Man, you just get one word. Just have one word in you. And I'm gonna go after that one word. His soul began to say, listen, if we let this man keep going on in this crazy mentality, he's going to take all of us right into the pit of hell. We got to do something. And his spirit began to get a sermon. Remembered a word from God. Something like maybe, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Right in the middle of his sorrow and his trouble, he remembered something that said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And somehow his soul began to wave back and forth, and he thought, my God, I don't know what that is. And his spirit began to preach to his soul, and his soul suddenly grabbed on to hope. And that expectation that will just maybe Do you think God will do it if I just hold on again one more time? Do you think maybe God will do it for me? The circumstances are screaming to him, no, there's no way out. It's over. It's finished. Your victory's been robbed. You're in defeat. You're not going to make it. Everybody's abandoned you. Nobody believes in you. You might as well die. But inside, something inside begins to preach to him. Say with me, preach, preacher. Oh, come on, say, preach, preacher. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. You got to look in your belly and say, preach, preacher. You got to begin to tell your spirit to rise up within you and begin to declare the word of the Lord in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your trial, and believe that God is able. Shout, he's able. This I recall to mind. Something on the inside got a hold of him. This man's thinking. You know what I believe? I believe this, Leon. I believe there is temporary insanity in the church. We walk around like a bunch of insane people. You thought it was over. You thought there was no hope. You thought there was no help. What's the matter? You lose your mind? You lost your mind, haven't you? How many know that God never changes? How many know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many know that if he saved you out of your sin, he could surely save you out of your trouble? Come on, lift your hands and praise him and say, I believe God. So I believe God. Oh, in spite of all my sorrow, I believe God. Temporary insanity. Well, God's been just sent me here today to give you some therapy. See, in the moment of that insanity, you think, well, you know what I need? I need to go out and get drunk. I need to get high. That's what I just need to soothe this aching in my soul. So I'm going to start drinking. I know I shouldn't be doing it, but you know what? After all, I ain't got no future anyway. And you start talking to yourself. Your soul begins to talk. Your mind begins, that rogue thought begins to speak to your soul, and it begins to crush you. And you pick up that bottle, and you haven't had a drink, but you think it's all right because you know what? It doesn't matter anymore because I've quit. I've given up. I'm done. I'm finished. And you pick up the bottle, you begin to drink it, and for some moments you begin to feel a reprieve, and you feel like everything is going to be all right, and you get a little numb. Or you put the bottle down, or you look for a relationship, and you think, if I can just get me a woman, if I can just find another man, if I can just have somebody to help me, if I can just get some materialism, if I can just get some retail therapy, if I can just get me some good food to eat, give me a nice chocolate cake, that's all I need, just something to make me feel better, give me some Breyers ice cream, I just gotta have something that's gonna make me, help me, get me through the night. Temporary insanity. Too many people in the church have lost their mind. But a still small voice begins to speak. Because in the middle of trouble, something is telling you you're going to get new direction out of this. In the middle of trouble, something begins to tell you, I'm inspecting and getting out of you what is not good for you. In the middle of the trouble, you begin to hear the Holy Ghost say, I'm correcting you, and I am connecting you, and I am going to perfect you, and I am going to protect you, and I'm about to project you into a new realm. And you think, God, is that you? God, is that you? You mean you really are going to do that for me in the middle of my unbelief, in the middle of my denial, in my middle of quitting? And suddenly, you hear that sermon. Hey, the battle belongs to the Lord. You hear that voice. Hey, lift up your eyes to the hills. Hey, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you shall fall. Hey, a small voice says, weeping may last for the night, but joy cometh in the morning time. Come on, somebody say, joy cometh in the morning time. Something inside begins to speak to you and begins to show you something about God that you've never seen before. Right in the middle of your trouble, right in the middle of your quit. I'm not about to let you quit. I'm going to track you down. And if I have to preach to you till 2 in the morning, I'm going to give you another word from God. I'm going to tell you that He is faithful. I'm going to tell you that He will always be with you. I'm going to tell you that He's the shepherd of your soul. I'm going to tell you that He was suspended between heaven and earth and carried the sins of the world. I'm going to tell you that there is life in God. Now I understand. I never did get it before. I've heard some great preaching. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Have you remembered that scripture? Oh, some preachers will preach it. They'll say it's like fire shut up in my bones. You think, whoo, I felt that. But put my scripture up, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Look at it, because this is a very important aspect of this whole teaching this morning. Because then I said, I will not make mention of Him. Don't be talking about God in front of me. I'm done with God. One time you have the Lord we provide. Shut up. This is where Jeremiah was. Jeremiah said, look, I will not make mention of Him nor speak anymore in His name. I quit. It's over. I'm done. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're done in your marriage. It's over, you thought. Well, I've got news for you. Jeremiah said, but. You know what that but did? It negated everything he had just said. But His word, read it with me, was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. In other words, God is not about to leave you now. God is not about to abandon you now. God is not about to let you quit. God is not about to let you fold. God is not about to let you pack your bag and walk away and say, I'm not coming back. God is not through with you, and it's never over. Until it's over. Lift your hand up and say, thank you, God. And it's not over until you say it's over. That word, this, in the Hebrew in verse 21 is incredible, because it was a remembrance of all that God had said. The translators had difficulty trying to come up with a word to encapsulate it, so they just said this, making reference to former speeches and declarations by God to Jeremiah. He said, this I will recall to mind, much like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. He had squandered everything. He had lost everything. He was in the pig pen. He had been forsaken and abandoned by his friends. He had lost everything. And suddenly, this came to mind. I've got a Father, and He is a King. He has a kingdom that includes me. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? He had a revelation moment. He looked at himself and thought, I don't belong here. I'm not made for this. What am I doing? And he lifted himself up and began to make his journey back to his Father. He had a God moment in the middle of his mess. All you need to give God is one thought. All you need to do is give God one opportunity to speak to you again His love. And it's sort of like Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. 7 years eating grass like an ox, hair grown feathers, insane like lots of church people. Come on, because you think it's over. It's not over. And he's eating this grass, and his nails are like eagle's claws. 7 years. And at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. God, are you real? I lifted my eyes to heaven. Read the next part with me. And my understanding returned to me. I declare today, no more insanity. You're not going to lose your mind. God's going to use this trouble for your good, because all things work together for my good. All things work together for my good. How many know that God is good? Come on, all the time. God is good. Say it with me. God is good. All the time. Now we get to Lamentations in 22. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have been, I have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. You didn't know Jeremiah wrote that song. He penned the word in verse 22 when he got his mind back. When he had a God moment and said, I'm going back to my Father. When he lifted his eyes up to heaven and his understanding came back. He said, though the Lord's mercies, we're not concerned, because his compassions fail not. You know what that word compassions mean? It means God's unchanging love never quits. Even when you blame him for your mess, he said, I still love you. And then he said, his mercies are new every morning. Verse 23. And great is thy faithfulness. He's steadfast. He's waiting. Like the Father every day. Is that my son? I think it's my son. He's coming home. It's the Father looking down the pathway of our lost hope in the midst of trouble. Sorrow overwhelmed us and we distanced ourselves from God, but something began to well up inside of us that said, maybe just God, if I call upon him. Jeremiah said in 3 and 33, call upon the name of the Lord and he will show you great and mighty things. I know the plans that I have for you, Jeremiah. Oh, it's for a grand future and a grand hope. I know you've been in trouble, buddy. But I was there all the time. And I'm not going to leave you. And so I wrote this simple little confession that I want us to declare today together. If you put it up on the screen for me. And I want you to read it like it's your confession. And if you're here in trouble today, I want you to listen closely to what you're saying. Are you ready? Let's read it. Heavenly Father, I refuse to be shaken in my mind, entertain thoughts of fear, or give unbelief a place in my life. Stop, 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 stop. Okay. That was good, but let's try it one more time. Start it from the top. Heavenly Father, I refuse to be shaken in mind, entertain thoughts of fear, or to give unbelief a place in my life. Come on. I confess your word dominates my mind, my will, and my emotions, regardless of what I see or hear. Repeat. Regardless of what I see or repeat, rewind. Regardless of what I see or hear, I take my stand on the promises of God's word, and it provides me with safety and security. In times of trouble, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Your word in heart is like burning fire shut up in the bone. So I say, oh, no, 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 no. You didn't do that good enough now. And you ain't talking to me. You're talking to your spirit. You're talking to your spirit. You're talking about the deposit of the word of God. You're talking about God's love. When you came to the cross and you found him to be your savior and he showed you how faithful he is, I want you to say, preach, preacher, with conviction. Are you ready? Come on. So I speak to my soul. Oh, wait, 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 wait. Your word in my heart is like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Here it is. So I say, preach, preacher. I speak to my soul and say, why are you cast down? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Come on, somebody. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Come on, say it. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Yeah. I know that you are good, God. I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You are about to get revived this morning. You are about to come out of trouble. Not just getting loosed of trouble, but coming out victorious from trouble. And you are about to go to another level because God said, I'm going to take what should have killed you, what should have crushed you, and I'm going to direct you. I'm going to project you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to connect you. I'm going to do all that I promised I would do in the middle of what the devil thought he had you under his feet. Now let's give him three hallelujahs in 1 minute. Are you ready? We're going to give God some hallelujah praise. Now we learned at the conference that when you say hallelujah, it's a command to release crazy praise. So hallelujah isn't the praise. Hallelujah is the command to praise. So at the end of the third hallelujah, we're going to give God some three-time crazy praise. All right, you ready? Give him three hallelujahs. Hallelujah. 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 Now give him praise and glory. Yeah. 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 Woo. Now look at somebody. Look at somebody and say, I don't know, man. I'm glad I came to church. I was about to lose my mind. I'm glad I came back to church today. I got my mind back. Come on, I got my mind back. Tell you, the world's going to say, you crazy. They're going to tell you that. But no, 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 no. You tell them, look, I was like you once. That's crazy. But now I got the mind of Christ and I'm a new creature in Jesus. I want you to have a seat for a moment because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you in the next 3 minutes, and then we're going to dismiss. You've been so gracious to allow me to rant and rave up here for a few minutes. Thank you. I want to be a blessing to Brother Leon and his team. I need your help. I need your help. And so I'm going to ask you to give sacrificially into this man of God. And let me just tell you, there were prophetic words that came forth, but we knew that even before the prophecies confirmed it. There's a sound shift in the kingdom. Church will not be like it used to be the way we worshiped. There's a new worship coming into the house of God, and it is literally transforming people. Leon is God's agency, one of them, to bring the shift, and we want to support him. God has opened up tremendous doors for this man. I don't know if I can tell you everything, but he's disclosed some things about how the secular world has heard him worship. And you know what they're saying? That's crazy. We want that. We want that. We want that on BET. We want that on the award shows for the Grammys. We want that. We want that on secular labels. We want that. We want that in venues where the church is going to begin to penetrate where we have been afraid to go. How many know the world's been penetrating the church? How many know it's time now for the church to penetrate the world? Huh? Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, you the favorite. You're the favorite. That's what he said. So, let's bless our brother. Let's bless him. He's our family. I'm committed to his success. And I want you to do something significant this morning. You say, well, Pastor, what would that be? Help me out. What are you hearing in the Spirit? I don't hear a figure in the Spirit, but I'll say this. If everybody could give a $20 gift, $20, every person, that would be significant. You say, well, I could do that. I'll just skip going out to eat. That's easy for me to do. So whatever God puts on your heart, would you be prepared right now? Take your envelope out before you. You can make the check out to CNC. The entirety of it, as well as every offering we receive this week, will go to his ministry. The church will keep none of it. It'll all go to him. You can be assured of that. So please, lean, get your pocketbook out. Reach over, get your purse out. And let's begin to be a blessing to this man. Father, I thank you that you are here to do great works in our lives. We ask your blessing on this offering now. Use it for your kingdom's sake and your glory. Bless Leon and his team and his family in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As you're giving, we want to have our altar team come and stand across the front of this room. I know in a message like this, I probably stirred up some things. And you still don't feel like you've got hope. But we want to pray for you. So we're going to have people along the front to pray and to believe God with you. Then I have two things to say, and I'm going to finish. North Coast Bible Institute begins January 7th. I have packets today that if you want to enroll, it's through Logos Christian University. You get credit for your classes. It's a $40 registration fee, $75 per class, $15 for textbooks. We begin January 7th at 9 o'clock in the morning. Bible doctrines. Actually, it's 8 o'clock. Bible doctrines, 9 o'clock, principles of Bible study. And then 11 o'clock, the study of Romans. And if you're interested and say, I'd like to have one of those packets, you have to register by November 30th. Would you hold your hand up? Our ushers will get you one of the packets. When you complete the 10-course certificate, you will be acknowledged by this ministry as a minister, as a lay minister, if you will, or it'll be applied to your credentialing as a minister of the gospel and ordained. And we have authority to do that. So we want to help you get to the place of ministry in your life. And I want to say thank you in advance. Finally, anybody that can help provide food or assistance for Thursday at Lorraine Square. Is that right? Lorraine Square. To see Brother Ron or Jaretta. I don't know where you all are at. Stan, there you are. Or Ann. There's Ann. And would you stand, you three, so they can see who you are? All the sign-up slips have disappeared. We don't know who you are. So see one of these people afterwards so we could be a blessing to those that are in our community. Hey, I want to tell you, live right. It's not worth it. Love everybody. Don't pick and choose. And pray hard, because God's about to use you in a mighty way. Thank you for being here. Wednesday night, we're going to continue our series on the Christian home. We invite you to come back. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks.